There are some of us that we are thinking about the sunset of life a little more than formerly, and it's good to know that we may come to the sunset of life and see God's glory in it all. May it be a blessing in your heart. This morning, as we prepare your hearts for the message, and before I get into this, I have forgotten to state that Sunday I'll be speaking on the unveiling, coming, advent, and presence of the Lord next Sunday. This morning I'm talking about the 70th week of Daniel 9. When Israel was in the 70 years Babylonian captivity, nearing the end of those years, Gabriel came to Daniel and brought him a message. And this is part of that message, Daniel 9:24. 77s, or 70 heptads, or 70 weeks of years, are segregated for your people and for your holy city to shut up the transgression and to bring to an end the sins and to make propitiatory shelter for depravity and to bring righteousness aeonian and to seal the vision and prophet and to anoint the holy of holies. Beloved friends, Daniel 9:24, which I have just read for your meditation, is one of the most comprehensive, definite, and revealing texts of Scripture in all the Bible concerning the specific events of the time of the end of this age and the beginning of the next. Six particulars are given which will find their fulfillment when the 77th have run their course. Three are concerned with the cessation of evil, transgression of sins, depravity to cease. And third, three of the last, there is to be the introduction of good, when righteousness, sealing, and anointing will be accomplished under the Spirit of God. All these blessings will be fulfilled for Daniel's people, Israel, but not until the 77s of years have run their course. It took me many years of Bible study and research to recognize and grasp with realization the remarkable fact that the entire Hebrew history prior to the millennium, the kingdom of righteousness on the earth, in which God's will be done as it is in the heavens, the entire Hebrew history is made up of four periods of time, each of which is reckoned in God's sight to be 77s of years, 490 years. Just in the case of the period prophesied by Daniel 9, the actual elapsed time is always much longer. I want you to note this. For example, in each case, there are 77s of years, 490. They are segregated in which the course of time flows on in the hands of Jehovah and his blessing on Israel. Now then, let's look at these four periods that will lead us to understand what we talk about today in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The four divine periods are segregated as follows. From the birth of Abraham to the Exodus out of Egypt, 77s of years. From the sprinkling of the blood at the doorpost in Egypt to the dedication of Solomon's temple, 77s. From the dedication of Solomon's temple until the word came to Nehemiah to return and rebuild Jerusalem, 77s. And from the 20th year of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah 2, 1 and 5, to the glorious advent of the Lord and the commencement of the millennial kingdom will be 77s, eliminating certain unaccountable epochs and periods. Now let's give an example of it. From the birth of Abraham to the Exodus was 505 years. 505 years. But something had to be done in here. Ishmael usurped the place of the son in Abraham's home for 15 years. Take those 15 years off. 505, you've got 490 left. God marks time with Israel from Abraham on down when they're in his favor, in his will. When they don't, he doesn't count time with them. Doesn't count time with them. We have to see that. Now then, another. We find from the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, we have 601 years of elapsed time. From the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, 601 years. But there were 7 servitudes by Israel during that period of time. 111 years of servitudes. Take the 111 years from of the servitudes, subtract it from the 601 years of time that elapsed, and what do you have left? 490 years. God never counts time with Israel when they're out of the land and out of harmony with him. Every time it works the same. Listen to another one. From the dedication of the temple of Solomon to the bearing forth of the word to restore and build Jerusalem again by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah adds up 560 years. From this, deduct 70 years while Israel was in Babylonish captivity. 70 years while Israel was in Babylonish captivity. When Daniel got his next message, right there, he was there 70 years, and it was right toward the close of it. All right, take 560 years, deduct from it 70 years in the Babylonish captivity. What do you have left? 490 years. God deals with Israel very strictly, and when they obey him, they're in his favor, and he counts time. But when they step out of his favor, the clock stops, and he quits measuring time. That thing is little known, little realized in Christendom today. And so, we come to our fourth 77 years, 409, revealed in Daniel 24. It was given while Daniel was in Babylonish captivity during that, the last of those 70 years there. And though during that time of 70 years, Daniel may have thought those years, he was an old man at that time. He went in there as a young man, a boy, and he was old when this came, and he thought it was a long, long time. But listen, Gabriel gave him a vision that was much longer. Concerning this fourth long period in Israel's history, the Lord assured his disciples that because of the chosen at the end time, the last days, this long period will be discounted. It will be shortened. Otherwise, no place at all would be saved. Down at the end of that time, Matthew 24:22, it is remarkable to note that the Latin Vulgate here reads that the 77s will be abbreviated. They're going to be abbreviated for the sake of Israel in that time. And Paul, writing concerning the last years of this period, states that the Lord will be doing a conclusive and concise accounting in the earth. A concise accounting in the earth when this all takes place at the end of the 77s of which I have just read you in Daniel 9. These periods in Israel's history of the 77s and the discounting of the years of time elapsing when they were in defection, out of favor with God, and in servitudes to the nations, gives us a valuable lesson in rightly dividing or correctly cutting the word of truth. When our Lord began his heralding to the nation of Israel in Palestine, he stressed that the kingdom had drawn near and the period was fulfilled. Mark 1:15, when he said, the kingdom has drawn near, the time has been fulfilled. When he said that, we find that they were right on the brink of coming into the kingdom, because 7 sevens had run their course, 69 sevens were just about finished when the Lord said this, and he was ready to ride into Jerusalem on the coal of the foal of an ass, when he was to come in there and present himself to them as their Messiah, according to their prophets of old. And he rode into Jerusalem on the coal that day, and they cried out and said, make the people hush. They're making too much noise around here. The priests, the rabbis, and all of the leaders there, they're making too much noise around here. And he said, oh, Israel, the day of your visitation came, and you didn't know it. And your house will be left unto you desolate until you are ready to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All that took place right there in their faces, and they didn't know a thing about it. And the world around us today knows very little about it. And so, instead of the rulers and the builders of the nation receiving him, what do we find? They were given another period of 40 years set forth in the book of Acts, which, like the deportation, like the servitudes in the book of the Judges, are not counted in the reckoning of Daniel's prophecy. Similarly, another such period is expected to run in the future before the final 7 years or the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy will run. Another 40 years. This is termed the era of judgment, which begins first from the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. There is another period of 40 years. This judgment of the house of God, the nation of Israel, is revealed for the truth seeker in Ezekiel 20:33-38, which is most illuminating of things to come, things that were spoken by the mouth of the prophets from the eons. And I want to read it for you carefully here this morning for our meditations. This is out in the future, and here is the way the prophet Jeremiah set it forth. As I live, saith the Lord, Ezekiel, cross that up in my mind. As I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out will I be king over you. And I will bring you out from the peoples, and will gather you out of all the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. And there will I enter into judgment with you, face to face, like as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. How few realize that that is all to take place again? That God is going to take Israel out of all the nations in due time, bring them back into that wilderness of the peoples again, just like he did when he brought them up out of Egypt, and enter into judgment with them again, just like he did with the nation when he brought them up out of the land of Egypt 40 years. So will I enter into judgment with you, saith the Lord Jehovah, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the lands where they sojourn, but they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. Ezekiel 20, 33 to 38. You remember several Sundays ago when I talked about what Peter said, that heaven must receive Christ until the times of the restoration of all things spoken out of the mouth of the prophets. You can see it right there. Heaven must receive him until all of this is done. We just talk and yap about the coming of the Lord. May come tomorrow. Might come next week. Might come next year. Why? Because we're ignorant of what God has said here. We're not listening to it. We're not studying our Bible. We're just listening to what somebody said that sounds good to our ears. So we find, beloved, that he is going to restore them back and put his covenant within them. I want to read one more revelation to you, this time in Jeremiah, when he will make this covenant with Israel in this judgment here in Ezekiel. Listen in Jeremiah 31 to 34. Behold, the days shall come, saith Jehovah, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them up out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. You can read all of that, but in that, beloved friends, I bring to you the fact that God must deal with Israel and rectify all of this matter in their relationship to him. Now then, let us remember that where we are today, from the time that Israel rejected their Messiah, even until now, God has not been marking time with Israel. Because the thing is in the hands of the Gentiles, and God is not marking time with the Gentiles at all. The 69th week ran its course when Christ rode into Jerusalem on the colt of old, yes, and they rejected that ended. And the 70th week is still yonder in the future. Way on, yes. Here we've run 1,960 years of time has run since that thing. And the 70th week is still on down now. Way on the head. A few years ago, right here, I brought you a message because of something that happened to Israel. May 15th day of May, 1948. Israel was declared a nation. I spoke to you about it right here. That time, 14 years ago. And it's interesting to think about just what happened there. You know, there was a prophecy made about this, and this prophecy was fulfilled at that time. Before she, Israel, before she is travailing, she bears. Before a cramp is coming to her, she effects the escape of a male. Who has heard a thing like this, and who has seen things as these? Shall a land be made to travail in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? That was what happened May the 15th, 1948. There was a nation born over there. There was a land that was turned back to Israel in part and so on. A political operation that took place. Not God's operation. He goes on in the next verse and says, for when Israel travails, Zion shall bear the sons. Not this that we see over yonder today, but what will be done when God enters into judgment with Israel and they're carried through in this great program over there. And so we find, looking at what took place over there, when Israel was declared a nation, you remember about it? Here are the facts. Britain had the mandate since the First World War and gave it up on the 15th day of May, 1948. 1 hour after the British officer left Palestine's shore, the nation of Israel declared her statehood. And 3 minutes later, President Truman of the United States of America sent a telegram and recognized her as a nation. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. What did all this mean? A land was given to the people in one day. A nation was born at once. This is the first time, listen, this is the first time since the days of Nebuchadnezzar, 524 BC, 2,464 years, that the people of Jacob, Israel, have had a land and recognized as a nation among the nations. First time. In all that time. But here is the sad thing about it. Trouble happened there. What was the trouble? There arose a battle with the Arabs in the land. And when this battle resumed, 750,000 to 800,000 Arabs left their homes and fled eastward under that great struggle there between Israel and the Arab peoples. You remember about all of that. And listen, those people are living in the most awful squalor and suffering circumstances today. Can't come back to their homes. And they have no other home to go to. There is a condition in there that men have worked out, not God in this case. And so we find, after this all took place, Honestus, Egypt, Lebanon, Transjordan, the four Arab states, pending Syria and Assyria, they all made covenants with Israel, recognized her in the land at that time. But listen, friend, I want to hurriedly get this clear in your mind. Israel is not a religious nation over there. She is only politically recognized among the nations of the world. It is a made-up job by the nations of the world, not God. That's the thing. And And so we find the people of Jacob will be divided into three groups, as we already see them in Amazon. The political group in Palestine. Eventually, there will come the priestly group in Asia Minor, Western Turkey today. There is where the priestly group will be found. And the commercial group will be in the land of Shinar, Babylon. There's the way they're going to be divided into three groups. The political group in Palestine, the religious group in Asia Minor, what's Western Turkey today, and the commercial group will be in Babylon and will be trading and trafficking with the whole nations of the world. All this is out before us. But remember this, true Israel, the Israel of God, will be born out of great tribulation. Matthew 24, 15 to 22, and Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 and 7. And this is what I have brought up with you this morning. The judgment must begin from the house of God in preparing Israel for the great blessings that God has ordained for them. And so we turn to two other subjects in this great gap in here between the 69th week and the 70th one. What happens? In our Bible study, we must clearly segregate the 77s of Daniel from the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens and the secret of Ephesians 3:3. Therefore, is not done in Christendom today. They do not recognize that today we're living between the 69th seven and the 70th seven, and in this we have two operations of God going on. One, the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens. That you find in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And the secret found in Ephesians. Ephesians 3:3. The whole book of Ephesians is concerned with this. Recognizing this in clear contrast, we must remember this, that what we see in the ministry today is not like the ministry when the Lord was here on earth. When the Lord was here on earth, it was entirely different from what we see it today. And this we must recognize in this way. First, the kingdom of the heavens, according to Moses and the prophets, the preaching was all in the hands of the Jews, no Gentiles doing the preaching. We must see that. We must recognize that. When the Lord was here upon the earth, the Jews were doing the preaching, not Gentiles. Jews were doing the preaching. And listen, when it goes back again, the Jews will do the preaching, not the Gentiles. But Gentiles have been doing the preaching. And he's been doing it mostly to Gentiles. That's what we have to see. It's all turned around. But you know, we have grown up in this. We never have turned the book over and looked on the other side. What God has said over there. We think, oh, the Gentiles will just go right on and on and on and on, and the Lord will come and set up his kingdom and so on. And I know churches, big churches. We've got one in several of them, at least, but one of the big ones, right here in West Palm Beach, that just boasts about that God will never have anything more to do with Israel as a nation. Brags about, boasts about. And we say, my, isn't that wonderful? We never stop to go and read our Bible to see about this. No, let me tell you this, beloved friend. The kingdom of the heavens, according to Moses and the prophets, that was entirely different from the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens. Why? This is why. Listen, in the kingdom of the heavens, according to Moses and the prophets, that was preached by Jesus, John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John, in that ministry there at that time, no evil, no sin was allowed. If a person just told a lie, or thought to tell a lie, or do something wrong, they were cut off. What the? We forgot about that, I
I suppose.
Why,
Ananias and Sapphira, they lied.
Cut them off.
Not only that, but it says in the scriptures, morning by morning, I'll uproot all the lawless out of the land, and they that tell lies shall not tarry in my sight. That's the way it's going to be on the land in that day.
What?
And they come and say, well, brother, you're all right. Come on in with us. Yeah, put your name on the record here.
There's what you see today.
It's all around us, everywhere. And you, if God's Spirit dwells in your heart and you are really in the faith of the truth, as a child of God, and you see all of this coming off in the church systems around you today, it makes you sick away down deep. But listen, beloved, that's a part of this secret program that's going on around us here today. It has nothing to do with God's program with Israel or the end time. Second, in the kingdom of the heavens, according to Moses and the prophets, the ministry, the heralding of the kingdom was exclusively in the hands of the Jews, Israelites, and was primarily to Israelites. Primarily to Israelites. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came in. Yeah, they were all Israelites. They were all Jews. One or two proselytes among them. But when it was ready for the Gentiles to come in under the kingdom, according to Moses and the prophets, the Lord had to show Peter a vision from heaven 3 times before he is willing to go down to the house of Cornelius. And when he went down there, he said, it's not lawful for us to come in, but he said, God told me to come on down here, and I'm here. And he preached to him. And see, what Gentile ever thinks about that today? He just goes out and says, come on, brother. And he starts preaching, and he starts coaching, and so on, which is in the thing. And that's why we find ourselves living in the great religious apostasy of Christendom, because the good and the bad are living and working together. Thirdly, it is supreme importance for us to clearly remember that the writ of Ephesians, the heralding our ministry, is in the hands of the Gentiles, for calling Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God has a purpose that he's carrying out now. It's preaching the Gentiles, preaching the gospel to Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's the program. That's all. You read that in Romans 11, 25 and Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. So we find the secret of Ephesians 3, 3 and the administration of the secret was not brought to light until Paul AD 61, concerning which he writes in Ephesians chapter 3, on this behalf, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you the Gentiles. You see, he began to reveal a blessing for us Gentiles there in that wonderful state. Now then, this must go on until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in all of it. And when that has run its course, then God is going to turn back in his preparation for his judgment with Israel, preparing them to take over the kingdom in that day, in the message that I just read to you in the text before. 77s are divided upon your people and your holy city to shut up the transgression, to bring to an end the sins, to make a propitiatory shelter for depravity, to bring in righteousness, Eonian, to seal up the vision and prophet, and to anoint the holy of holies and start the millennial kingdom, the reign of 1,000 years, when Christ will sit on his throne and reign for 1,000 years in righteousness and glory and blessing and peace, when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water form a covering to the sea, and all nations, languages, and
tongues will come under that reign and under that ministry through the Lord Jesus Christ, through David sitting on the throne, and through the 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 144,000 male sons, Israelites, who will go out and rule the nations with a rod of iron until they're brought into subjection to the will of God in all of His righteousness and so on. What we see today is entirely different. It's in the secret realm. And beloved friends, I trust I have brought before your minds the scriptures that will give you steadfastness, that will be or assuring to your faith that great things yet must develop out in front of you. The judgment of God must begin first from the house of Israel. That's out down in the front. Not only that, Israel must be grafted in. Babylon must be rebuilt. The temple must be rebuilt on Mount Zion. And the man of sin, the Antichrist, must arise. But that will not take place until Assyria again is a nation. And Egypt is a nation, great and powerful in the days down yonder before us. So, giving you this picture, as it is divinely revealed by Moses and the prophets, I once more say, as I said several Sundays ago with Peter in Peter 3:20 and 21, heaven must receive Christ until the restoration of all things. The times of the restoration of all things spoken of by the mouth of the prophets from the eon. That is before our hearts for meditation. May it be a blessing to you and a source of strength. May we, in our faith, as comes to us through Paul's revelation in Ephesians, in the grace of God, the unsearchable riches of God's grace, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, may we stand in His grace and glory in the hope of the glory of God that is ours with assurance, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the deliverance. And may we rest, may we live, may we love, may we labor to the praise of His glory in our faith, knowing that in due time we will be with Him and like Him and for Him in His glory in the allotment that He has called us to. Next Sunday, I'll speak to you on the unveiling, the coming, the advent and presence of the Lord. Sunday week, the glory throne judgment. Our God and Father, we pray that it may please Thee to bless the thoughts we have brought forth from Thy Word today, that they may be quickening and they may bring realization, understanding, and assurance of faith. Above all, we pray for that peace that passes all understanding to fill our hearts, to keep us and guard us, our God and Father, through our days and years, well-pleasing unto Thee in all things. And we give our thanks and praise all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.